record our meeting so that we can share that to the greater community. Yes. So this morning, and one thing that we ask at the beginning of each of our meetings is to make sure that we review the antitrust policy as well as our code of conduct, so it's available right off of our meeting agenda. And this is the trust policy that's located right here, and I'll just pause for like a minute. So I'm going to go into the edit mode of this, and just so we can talk through some things. We don't have any particular announcements other than the Singapore Washing Week is this week. So if you guys are on the lookout and participate, do join in some of the activities that are going on there. Just to quickly get started, so we have a few folks on the call. Kasab, if you want to, I'll quickly do an introduction on my own and then have Kasab and Binay introduce yourselves, okay? And as well as Karen will also do that. So for you guys, hi, my name is Nancy Min. I'm the chair of the Social Impact Special Interest Group. My real role here is just to kind of help facilitate conversations, bring together community members that are interested and round up folks to do interesting and innovative initiatives in this area. Alicia?
Sure. Hi, my name is Alicia Noel. I'm based in New York as well, and I do research and consulting around food supply chain innovation. Specifically, are mostly focused on uses in agriculture and food supply chain traceability and blockchain there. Mm-hmm. One hat I'm wearing at the moment is I'm co-editing a collection for a research collection for an academic journal out of Switzerland on blockchain uses for economic and social equity in agriculture and food supply chains. There is a link in the agenda, so if anyone has information, feel free to either click on that or get in touch with me. I'm happy to share more.
Thanks, Alicia.
Great.
I guess,
hello.
Hi.
Yeah, do I go ahead? Is Karen talking?
Karen.
I heard Karen speaking. I don't know if it's.
Go ahead.
Okay, great. So hey guys, my name is Kaustubh. I'm basically a computer science grad that graduated about a year and a half back from a pretty good college here in India. Firstly, I've worked in startups ever since I've joined college. I've been in the gaming and game development side first, then moved on to health tech, joined an ed tech company from there, and now we're finally in fintech. So pretty much explored most of all I could do. Finally getting to work on something that, you know, something that's very close to what I believe in as a problem that must be solved, right? And I think, yeah, today's presentation, one of the things that people usually tell us when we present this is they end up saying that, you know, this idea sounds a little too good to be true. But what we usually go in with saying is the problem is a little too important to stay unsolved, right? So there's a lot we're doing in terms of creating impact, in terms of social economic impact in the communities that we live in. That's basically where we come from, right? We started off this entire idea of us keeping in mind of the kind of positive impact we want to bring into the society. Beyond that, Vinay and I, both of us actually, we are college mates. The two of us studied together for almost about 4 years and graduated together, worked together in the same place, and then started this whole thing up ourselves. Right now, we are bootstrapped to a point where we're getting some good traction here in India. So that's where I come from. We've worked with blockchain-based technologies for quite some time. It's actually, it started off as a curiosity project for us. Back when we were in college, the entire ecosystem was like machine learning, data science is the edge, right? There's something about blockchain and how simple it is, but how effective it really is that caught our eye. The idea of saying that there's an entire community that's involved in trying to bring value to a system really piqued our interest. So much so that we've actually worked on core blockchain-based technology In fact, one of the projects that we worked on before graduating, which is basically a patented, not exactly patented, we filed a patent for, is more of a internet work communication protocol for blockchain-based systems. So we started off with liking the technology a lot to see where exactly we can, you know, push it to its maximum level and get the best possible results out, or best possible, results out that actually matter. So that's where we come from. Vinay?
Yeah, so he's covered almost everything. Hey guys, I'm Vinay. I'm also based out of Bangalore. Like Kaushik said, both of us graduated 2 years back from the same college. So even during college, I was a part of another startup. It was a logistics startup. It was called Bistraction. It was something I actually worked on along with one of my relatives. The ideation, the conception, I was a part of the entire thing. But due to some family issues, we couldn't take it further. After my college, I was a part of an edtech company along with Kaustubh. It was called Gnanamite. We worked as solutions architects for that company. And while we were working for that company, we were ideating Paise. We came up with a lot of solutions before the current one we have right now. But this is the one that actually piqued our interest, and this is something we really wanted to work on. So yeah, that's pretty much.
Great, thank you for sharing your passion about the project. Definitely great to hear the background and kind of where you guys got to where you are.
Yeah.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, I'm Karen. I'm with Hyperledger, so I'm on the Hyperledger staff. I'm based here out of New York City. I have a background in sort of the social impact space. I used to work in international development, implementing USAID projects in different parts of the world. I used to live in East Africa, and, you know, had a similar introduction to the blockchain world as many of us, thought it was interesting and fascinating, and eventually ended up here at Hyperledger, where I support Nancy in growing this group and this community, getting us to explore how this technology can be relevant for social impact.
Nice.
Thanks, Karen. I wasn't aware you lived in Africa. It's really cool.
Yeah, I spent 6 years in Burundi and Ethiopia.
Neat. Very cool.
Well, it's great. We all learn. We all get to learn something new every meeting. Right?
Yeah, like a little fun fact, right, from the week.
But you get excited about the coffee traceability project out of Ethiopia.
Yeah, there's so many good coffee projects. Yeah.
Emergo's doing one. I don't know if you've spoken to Nico about it.
Sorry?
I think you know Nico from D-Lab. So Nico works with Emergo, and they've been doing a project in Ethiopia. I don't know if you've had a chance to speak with him about it.
I haven't yet. They actually just joined, so I need to learn more about what they're doing.
Yeah, thanks.
Awesome, great. Well, Kaustubh and Vinay, well, welcome, and, you know, thanks for joining us for this call today. So as I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, we as a community kind of rally around different community presentations and contributions to the overall SIG. So I can kind of walk through a little bit of some of the things that we've been working on a little bit. So one of the things in particular was in the beginning of the year, we had essentially some folks come together and say, well, you know, as new members are joining our SIG, one of the common questions that we get is, well, how do we get started and get really plugged into some of the things that we're working on? So we developed this new member center, which really is just focusing on, you know, what are the things that we as a social impact SIG are interested and stand for and value, mm-hmm. Which as, you know, Karen and Alicia can attest to, is really focusing on how do we deliver kind of social good using, you know, innovative technologies such as blockchain, and really finding that bridge to kind of go to together. In terms of what is required to become a SIG member, that is very simple. I don't know if you guys currently have this, but for just getting a LFID account, and right here, there's a link to access and contribute that and get your Linux account. Yes.
No, nothing.
Oh, okay. Sorry. And then a couple of different ways that we can get involved. I think you guys are doing exactly one of the main best ways of doing this is just subscribing, kind of introducing yourself to the community, joining our week bi-weekly discussions, sharing some of your ideas, and kind of thoughts that you have. One thing that we always like encourage, you know, feel free to share your ideas. And the main goal is it's an open environment. So you're going to have folks that have varying opinion, but the whole purpose of this is to come together and be able to share freely and also get feedback.
Right.
And hopefully not harsh feedback, but what we're trying to get is real feedback.
Right. Right.
And then other aspects are contributing to our ever-changing work stream and projects that we're also working on. And so there's some additional resources on how to get plugged in, but one of the other things that we're also in the process of developing is a social impact SIG resource center. So the main goal of this, especially for you guys, as you guys are developing different types of use cases and, you know, that pertain to social impact as well as which pertain to blockchain technologies, one thing that we wanted to do was to have kind of a repository for folks that are new or folks that, you know, have different type of resources that they use or best practices that they refer to when they're cultivating these use cases. And so we're in the process, and you know, Alicia has also contributed to this. Vinod, I'm waiting for you to contribute as well. but there are, you know, many different sectors that social impact touches, which touches upon, such as like agriculture and land rights, climate, environment, digital identity, financial empowerment for you guys, governance and democracy, and wellness. You know, what are different resources that you refer to as you're cultivating these ideas and concepts? And then how can we kind of make this into something that's going to be a much more streamlined process? So one thing that we're in discussion with, and Karen, I forgot to mention this to you as well. I was talking to Mike McCoy from Consensus. You know, we're trying to figure out and rally behind how do we develop a framework so that folks that are interested in you know, developing different use cases can help select what tools that they actually need to power those solutions. So such as, you know, there's so many different blockchain projects like Sawtooth, Fabric, as well as Iroha, right? What are the most appropriate solutions and toolkits to use to power, you know, as well as Bezu, to power different use cases? And how can we help define that process as well? So those are all different things that we're in discussion right now and trying to cultivate and get a group behind to develop these different things. So, you know, if these are things that sound interesting to you, feel free to just let us know and we'll get you plugged in right away. And Alicia is also working on a blog post that we're also looking for input from community folks on, and I can show that really quick, is kind of a state of social impact ecosystem. And that's still currently in the process of being developed out. But you know, what we want to do is, you know, develop a blog post to highlight the different blockchain for social impact use cases that are currently relevant, as well as future topics to be discussed on future discussions.
Nice. Great. Yeah, I think it matches a lot with what we want to do too. That's the main reason why I got in touch with you guys first. So I'm not sure if you're aware of the Hyperledger Indian chapter or if you're in touch with someone there. There's a person named Aruna. He currently works in Walmart Labs, if I'm not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, told us about the work that you're doing. And that's how I ended up approaching you guys, right? About what we're doing and things like that. So yeah, it actually aligned with a lot of what we want to do.
That's great. And I'm so glad that, you know, the word is getting out that, you know, we're trying to do things that are, you know, trying to drive some impact in this space. So if there's any ways that you want us to kind of help facilitate and get the word out, you know, amongst the Indian chapter, we'd be more than happy to kind of write some emails or, you know, some email templates. You know, I think Karen spearheaded a template to invite folks to join the social impact, special interest group. So if there are other ways that you want us to kind of help with that, we'd be more than happy to do that.
Absolutely. Works.
Sounds good. Thank you. So just moving on a little bit. So a couple other things that we've been in discussion are, you know, I think I touched most of these. One of the other discussions was around an animal ID project with Amazon Web Services. They're right now still in the process of kind of defining what they want to do for that project, but that's something that we're also going to be helping them with. couple other things that, you know, we're also discussed in previous meetings, just to kind of recap a little bit, is we had recommendations on, you know, more engagement with some of the working groups, engaging with the social Blockchain for Social Impact Coalition, as well as developing projects for the Linux Foundation Mentorship Program, so that we can actually, you know, fund some developers to start working on things that drive impact in the space. So those are all different ways that we can help out if the project, it, you know, sounds right to us and, you know, definitely align with the goals and stuff like that. So one thing I wanted to open up, if there were any other announcements or things that folks wanted to bring up on this call, any kind of community discussions that you guys wanted to rally around, anything you guys wanted to talk about? All right. So the one other thing was the community events. I think Alicia had mentioned this earlier. So for the Frontiers and Blockchain Research Collection on Blockchain Use Cases, they have a due date by September 30th. And if you guys have questions, Alicia can better answer them. But you know, I think they're looking for submissions to this open call. Are there any other community events that the you guys are, you know, aware of or interested or looking at participating?
Not exactly. So we, like I said, we just got exposed to all of this quite recently.
No, that sounds good. You know, what we try to do with this is really just to highlight so that folks, you know, are aware of current and ongoing things in this space.
Right.
So it's kind of just like an open call. And if you guys are interested, just refer back to the section. You know, we'll try to post them like every, you know, biweekly with different events that are happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, thanks. All right. So without further ado, I will pass the baton over to you guys. We're really excited to learn about the use case that you guys are developing, and we'll look forward to your presentation. So, do you have the ability to share? Just clicking like.
Let me just check out. I think you're still sharing your screen. I don't think I'd be able to.
I just pause. Let's see if I can stop it.
Yeah, just a second. I mean, just check it out. Is my screen visible?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. The startup that we have started up, it's called Paise. Right? Now, I know there are no Indians on this call, but Paise is more like cents for the US dollar. Right? Paise is basically a fraction of a rupee. I know it foreshadows what we're trying to do or what we actually do, but we take fractionalization very seriously, and that's why we've chosen Paise as a name, right? As a culture, what we stand by is this line, right, that says, make your investments a conversation. And as we go through the slides forward, you'll probably understand why it's very close to us and what we're doing. Because that's our end goal, right? We want to make people's investments a conversation. If I were to really break it down to something very simple and explain to you guys exactly what we do, I'd basically say that we create a special avenue, right? Or a brand new avenue for that matter, for investors to put their money into a purpose that they really care about, right? Something that they can relate to, something that they believe in, right? So what that makes us is basically a combination of both fintech and impact. And the idea and the concept of impact is exactly what is imbued in almost everything that we do, right? Not just in the products that we build, but also with the kind of people that we communicate with, the people that we engage with, be it the customers that probably invest on our platform, and also the guys who help being the vendors to keeping our platform afloat, right? And as we go through the slides, you'll understand how this value of impact is actually very important and a core of our DNA, right? So much so that our company was initially called Impulse. Impulse being another thing for impact. We had to localize that a little bit more and get Paise out of there. But you'll see through the slides how impact is really important to what we do, and it defines who we are and the kind of work that we do. Right? Just to give you a brief introduction of the team, we, like I said, our team is very small. We have four people in total. The fourth one's about to join in. But the three in focus who really, you know, the three of us here are basically the ones that run the show right now. We have Vinay, who's one of the co-founders. He's on the call right now. We have Anurag, who takes care of the entire finance side, like the fin part of the fintech, right? So he helps make the magic with the numbers and ensure Paise is still something that people would talk about when they talk about money. I'd actually pass the thing down to Vinay. I think he's going to probably run you through our problem statement, what we're trying to solve, what are the things in our culture that we promote, both internally in the organization, which is pretty important, right? So in any organization for that matter, as much as your marketing guys can make it look like you're doing social good, it's very important that you do it internally in your team as a culture. So I think Vinay will probably run you through everything we do there. Vinay?
Yeah. Hey guys. So I'll get to the problem statement as to why we are doing what we're doing. So the first most important point is that people in India, at least nowadays, are more interested in giving back to the environment, right? They want to contribute to giving back to the society. We see people attending marathons. We see people putting social media posts that say, go green. And the whole phrase that we don't have a planet B, I think is gaining traction and we believe in it too. And so we're basically exploring into two fields. One is your renewable energy or sustainable energy field. And the second one is your MSME bill discounting. So, and we believe that the sustainable energy field is something that's going gaining traction right now. And a problem is most in this field, especially the entry barriers for you to invest into a sustainable energy product are really high. So there are three major problems right now in the Indian market. The first one is the fact that people are not aware of avenues that are there for them to invest into a sustainable energy product. The second one is the fact that they don't have a company or they don't have a platform for them to put money into a sustainable energy product. And the third thing is the fact that the ticket sizes for these products, right, are really high. So let's say you want to set up a solar power plant, be it a rooftop asset right on top of your apartment. Even that is a costly affair. The maintenance of it, the initial setup of it, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of domain knowledge, and a lot of capital. The third problem that we see is in the Indian market, right? Right now, whatever investment avenues or investment instruments we have, people don't have an emotional attachment with the instrument, right? Let's take your fixed deposits or your PPFs for that matter. No one's really excited about the fact that they're investing into a PPF, apart from the fact that you're getting a return, right? There is no emotional attachment with the investment. You're not proud about it. You don't go to people and say, hey, look, I've invested in this. And the reason why we believe this is important right now is the sustainable energy field itself is growing rapidly in India. So just the solar field, we have almost 450 gigawatts worth of assets under development, which are ready to come out by 2022. And if you look at the ticket sizes for that, it's almost close to $192 billion, the funds required to gain this project, right? And the other point is the fact that the number of Indians moving from your lower middle class to middle class stratum is increasing significantly, right? And these are guys who've never probably invested in our product. These are guys who are like a clean slate. They don't have any past history of investing into a product, right? And they would look out for alternate options that are there. And the third point is that your traditional instruments like your fixed deposits are losing their value significantly. And especially with COVID coming in, the return rates are dropped down to almost 5 to 6%, right? And just in FDs in India, the investment or the funds managed is somewhere around $1,000 billion. And all of these people are being hit by it and their returns are as low as 5 to 6%. And we believe that right now is the time for them to give them a safe and an alternate product, which gives them high returns while keeping their investments safe, right? So the next point, before I delve into what the product is.
So to add to that, right, the main thing that is actually visible right now, to be honest, both within our communities and to a certain extent everywhere else in the world, is this general momentum of emotions that exists towards a greener future, right? Like Vinay told, it could be something as simple as hashtag Green Warrior. But the general momentum exists. The problem is to create some form of a considerable impact and ensure that the activities you do are really helping or contributing towards the change. The entry barriers are pretty high. This, like Vinay told, is both capital as well as domain intensive, right? Not everyone really has access to it. So much so that when we spoke to people initially about this idea, not a lot of people really knew that they could have had their investments put into renewable energy assets before. So it's both new and in most ways something that people can easily relate with right now because of the conditions that really exist. Right? And emotional attachment is the core of what we do. Because if you just take the example of someone just buying a phone, right? Just to make things more simpler, a guy buys an iPhone and suddenly an experience to probably use it and go out and boast off about it. But no one really goes down to your friend and no one really comes to you and tell that, hey, listen, I've just put my money in a fixed deposit. Right? So we feel that when there's some form of connection that exists between the person investing the investment product itself, he tries to care about it a little more, start putting in more money, both helping his savings and at the same time also helping in making, considering the asset classes that we have, helping us with the whole greener future story. Right?
Yeah. So before we go into what the product is, so the common question that comes up when we say people that, okay, we're using blockchain is, are you using it just because it's a buzzword, right? And to that we say here, no, we have some core values which we follow, which is basically your empowerment, governance, and democratization. And whatever we do in Paise, we make sure that it adheres to these values, right? And that's pretty much it.
So what we look at is saying that anything that we build within the team, right? This could be something of a product or, like I said, culturally within ourselves. The only kind of problems that we're going to solve are places where we can empower both the people who are contributing to our system or the investors who are putting in the money, and as well as empower the people who help keep the platform afloat, right? The guys who help us getting in touch and getting us the renewable energy assets. One of the asset classes we're looking at are even SME and SMB invoices. So how exactly can we help them? Right? When we talk about invoice discounting and trade finance, everyone, most of them end up looking at the investor and say, hey, listen, how do we make it more lucrative for him? But one of the things that we really want to focus on is to ensure how we can actually help those guys also while helping bring the uniqueness to our product. Governance is critical too, because what we really want to bring is some form of accountability. There have been quite a lot of cases within within our country itself where a lot of the private banks end up keeping the data towards themselves, and there's been a lot of scams that have happened. People are really understanding the idea of having a more decentralized and open approach to and transparency, right, in terms of the data that's there to ensure that no such mishaps actually happen. And democratization is pretty simple. Like Vinay told, not a lot of people really know about these assets. They don't really know that these high-performing assets really exist. So our idea is to allow people who probably didn't have access to these assets before have access to it by fractionalization.
Yeah. So what we're looking to do is basically fractionalization as a service. So as we do this, we want to move closer to the Internet of Value phenomenon, where we're saying that the transfer of ownership of assets is as simple as transfer of data within the internet, right? And we basically want to create a fractional blueprint that says that tomorrow, let's say we have a new asset class, let's say real estate, or let's say EV motors. It should be as simple as a plug and play. So whatever asset class we have, we want to abstract the entire thing and keep it as a black box. So for the investor coming in, he doesn't have to go through the entire jargon of onboarding into it, or he doesn't have to break his head as to how he's going to be a part of this solar asset, right? And by doing that, we're abstracting the entire product and we're letting him own fractions of the assets without worrying about the type of asset that he's investing in, right? Moving on to the asset portfolio, we have two basic assets right now that we're looking at. The first one is your renewable energy. And to be more specific, we're looking into the solar side of things. So we're looking at solar plants. And the best part about these solar plants is that they generate revenue almost as close to as 13-14%, which is three times the revenue that fixed deposit generates, right? And the solar assets are safe. safe in terms of saying that they're backed by a contract called a PPA, which is a power purchase agreement, which mandates that the offtaker of the electricity pays a fixed amount per unit of electricity consumed for the 25-year period, right? So a solar power plant's life is 25 years, and this contract mandates that the customer pays a fixed amount for those 25 years. And hence, this product is completely safe, and it's going to only fail when the sun doesn't rise up, right? The second asset class that we're looking at is your inverse discounting for SMEs and MSMEs. With COVID coming in, we've seen a lot of SMEs and MSMEs in India who are finding it very difficult to maintain their cash flows, right? They're facing a huge issue in terms of the credit crunch. Like most of these SMEs and MSMEs had to shut down because they couldn't maintain their cash flows. And so we've introduced this discounting product where investors can partially own fractions of an invoice that is listed by an SME or MSME, right? And the best part is these are short-term investments and they generate a revenue almost around 12 to 13%. And the investment period is somewhere around 1 month to 6 months, right? The invoices are typically 90 days to 120 days. And the revenue generated is still high, and the asset class is itself safe because we take we onboard enterprises and vendors whose credit rating is high. So we do the credit risk analysis of the or the enterprises that are onboarded, right?
And the build discounting side of things itself, why it's critical, and we say it actually creates social impact in our country especially, is MSMEs and SMEs make up almost about 45% of our GDP. So those guys really keep our economy flourishing to a point where we are successful with what we're doing, right? And it is very important for us to see how exactly we can take our investor base and help, like we said, right, to our values of empowerment. How exactly can we help their issues, but at the same time allow retail investors to, you know, contribute into that impact in ensuring that these jobs happen, in ensuring these companies stay afloat, in ensuring that there are new jobs that are created because of, let's say, your credit cycle getting reduced now and getting your money on time, right? That's the thing.
So in terms of how all of this is made possible, right, it's basically tokenization. So our token model, we have two types of tokens. The first one is your identity token, which is basically a digital representation or a digital twin of the asset itself. It's basically a one token per asset, which is non-fungible, and it has all the characteristics of the asset itself. The second kind of tokens we have is your ownership tokens. And you have 100 tokens per an asset, which basically is 1%, one token represents 1% of the ownership. And the best part is these tokens can be fractionalized down to the 18th decimal. So the point of saying that your entry barrier or the ticket sizes is high is covered because of this, because the investor can come in and put in as low as 100 rupees or 50 rupees into the platform and still get the same returns which he would get by investing into the entire project itself. So what happens is basically an investor comes in, there's a diverse asset classes on our platform. Right now it's two, we're looking to expand into more. So he comes in, he sees a list of all the assets that are there. He just puts in the cash and says, okay, I want to invest 100 rupees into a solar power plant, which is there. And I want to invest, let's say 500 rupees into a invoice discounting, or I want to buy out an invoice. He can just enter the amount and it's just two clicks away for him to be a part of the asset. Right.
So, yeah. And in terms of the asset classes itself, right, going with the theme of impact and what we do, we only choose those asset classes that really contribute to either social or environmental impact. We are probably looking at more of the agricultural side of things too, with ideas of probably saying we can fractionalize forests, right? And the other kind of projects we're looking at is even EV fractionalization, which we are looking to partner with a few of these startups here in Bangalore to see how exactly we can take electric mobility to the next front. Because once again, electric mobility, like any other sustainable energy project, high capital barrier, right? To get in and convert the existing fleet of vehicles to go green is a huge challenge. So how exactly we can start contributing there is also some of the things we're looking at, right? In terms of the specifics, right now, coming down to the impact side of things itself, what we really believe is whatever asset that we want to put our money into, right, the investor has the chance or the capability of putting into must really generate some form of a visible impact, right? There are a lot of metrics that we keep in mind while doing this. In fact, right now, the tokens that that Vinay had presented, saying the ownership and identity tokens, are specific to the asset and its characteristics itself. But one of the things that we're actually looking at, saying how exactly can we capture the value of impact, right? Now, impact is something everyone keeps talking about, right? Amazon probably comes in the next day and says, we're cutting down on plastic in our packaging materials. And that's by, let's say, by 2030, we are going to be plastic free, right? So people come out with impact like that, but there needs to be some form of a visible measurement, something that can be quantified. And that is the thing that we're actually trying to do right now, right? One of the things we're actively trying to do is to see how exactly we can create a mechanism to do two very important things. One is to basically assess the kind of impact that is actually created by the assets that are there in our portfolio, right? So if it's build discounting, we have different kind of parameters, which is basically to say how exactly has it helped those MSMEs in recovering or clearing their debts? How much has it helped in actually growing their business? How many new jobs were created? And things like that. While on the other hand, in the solar and renewable energy side of things, there are quite a lot more impact factors, right? The amount of carbon that is sequestered because of using solar-based energy, the number of jobs that are created, right? In getting the solar power plants up. If you look at hectares of land that's usually converted into solar farms, you'll understand the kind of manpower that's really required to put that up. So the more we can contribute to that, we want to be able to assess the true impact that is created. And most importantly, we want to manage and benchmark it, right? It is very important to assess or benchmark primarily because you know the kind of contribution the person is doing who's owning the asset, right? So if I were a solar developer today and I'm trying to start up my own, let's say, solar plant, I can assess or benchmark the impact I'm creating against some other plant that is probably, 2 feet away from me, right? Or probably my neighbor. The ability to actually manage and assess the impact created is very important to this, which is why what we thought of doing is to create a brand new asset class called impact tokens, right? Impact tokens is basically a culmination of the collective impact created by all of the assets that we post in our portfolio, right? So there are a lot of parameters to it. We'll get into that. Primarily, some of the parameters we're looking at right now, we are focusing on the green asset side of things. We're looking at the land utilization factor, right? The more the land is used for solar, the better the land is, or else it'll end up turning barren, right? So what's the factor to which the land is actually utilized because of solar power plants? How exactly is that project avoiding the degradation of soil quality? Right, because of the use of solar panels, how exactly has it reduced the amount of heavy metal that is used, right, in all of your traditional fossil fuel based electricity generation? What is the reduction in water consumption that has happened in most of these processes? How many jobs are created per megawatt, right? Very important in saying this is the kind of social impact that's created by the money that you've put in, right? What is the factor of productivity in terms of the electricity that is generated versus fossil fuel? We actually also looked at agriculture-based add-ons to the impact, things like hydroponics that could probably come in right under these solar panels and allow for better utilization of the land itself, right? So we had other factors like nutrient consumption and things like that. So what we do is we take these factors, give it a specific weight, and what we do is we create an impact token that's a culmination of all of these factors, right? The value of an impact token actually gets better and better when more people start creating more impact, right? And since it is measurable, the number of jobs created, the amount of heavy metal sequestered, amount of carbon sequestered, what basically happens is we have a community that's built around impact, and there's a community of people that actually try to do more than they would do to ensure that there is some form of positive good that's happening from the activities they perform, right? So an impact token, what we do right now, the idea that we're looking at is it's more of a tradable asset, but the value, like I said, gets better when more and more people start contributing better, right? People who aren't contributing more would probably generate less number of impact tokens, which means they have to try harder to do better in the society to ensure that they get more and more tokens. tokens, right? Impact tokens is something that's very close to us because this is what we started off Paisae with initially. We didn't look at fractional ownership of the assets initially. We were looking at fractional ownership of impact. But what we're doing right now is ensuring we double down on both sides and see how exactly we can get this out. In terms of the breakdown of the whole weighted factor itself, we don't really stick with just those factors that I'd shown you. We further break it down into other visible impact metrics, right? So if I spoke about just solar power generation, I talk about health effects too, right? If you look at geothermal plants, you'll obviously understand that there's a lot of manpower involved in very dangerous tasks. So what exactly is the medical assistance that is reduced because of going into a more cleaner and safer energy alternative? What's the reduced number of accidents and deaths because you contributed into solar energy, right? Pollution effects, which is probably the most common and visible one, right? Saying what exactly is the amount of carbon footprint that's reduced because of going from traditional fossil fuels to solar, and obviously the pollutant cleanup itself, right? So we break down these factors and we've made this whole weighted factor average. What we've ensured to do is to see any and every impact metric that is visible to us is captured within that token, right? So talking about just the renewable energy assets itself, because it's very unique to what we do and in our approach of actually reaching out to people, right? Like Vinay told, all of these assets are actually backed by solar assets and backed by a special contract called a PPA or a power purchase agreement. What a power purchase agreement actually says is for a period of 25 years, the guy who's consuming the electricity has to pay a fixed price per unit that he's consumed, right? So if you look at it that way, an investment that's put into a solar asset is pretty much safe for 25 years because of the guaranteed returns, right? So what we try to do is if we actually look at the characteristics of these PPAs, we just found it to be the best possible alternative to gold, right? If you just look at gold as an asset class, it's safe. You can ensure that the money put in there is safe. It's not very volatile. It is not volatile for that matter. And it's more of a long-term investment, right? So one of the things that we're actively working on is creating a commodity-backed stablecoin, right? Commodity here being the renewable energy assets that actually grow at the same rate in which it actually provides the returns, which is about 13%, right? Gold, as of today, grows at about 2% year on year, but we're looking at a stable coin that would rise in price about 12 to 13% year on year. Most importantly, our idea is to see how exactly we can factor the impact into the stable coin, right? To give it more value than just the monetary side of things. And see how exactly we can capture that value of impact into the stablecoin. It is very secure in terms of your returns coming in on time and there being an off-taker on the other side to buy your asset. So that's exactly what we're looking at. And continuing with the theme of empowerment, right? So we didn't really get to talk a little, lot more about our MSME and SME bill discounting. It's a traditional product. A lot of people have seen it already in the trade finance business. But India is a very unique market for that, right? While I said that 45% of the GDP is MSMEs and SMEs, only about 5 to 6% of them are actually digitized, right? Only about 6% of them have a digital footprint, which means that the remaining section of people don't really have any background story to them, right? So they can't really go to banks tomorrow and ask for a loan. Because they have to go through a whole process of verification, a credit risk check has to be done, and things like that. There's no proper identity. So in our entire idea of empowering these people, what we are trying to do is to create a distributed identity management system, right? More of a sovereign identity base partnered with some of the companies here in India itself as validators. In fact, one of the approaches we're looking for is to use Hyperledger Indy for this, right? What we want to do is we want to create a consolidated identity management for SMEs in India, right? Which means we take care of their credit risk analysis. We basically take care of their onboarding and the KYC, which means that tomorrow we can easily partner up with some of the banks here in India and ensure that it works more like a single sign-on mechanism for these people to start talking to other financial institutions. So yeah, that's in terms of what we're doing and what we're building. That's pretty much it. It comes down to the factor of empowerment, governance, and democratization. And we want to bring in a more, accessible, manageable, impact-based system where we can, benchmark it against other people and say, hey, listen, for you to grow or for us to grow, we all have to work together to make it work. So that's pretty much what we do. I think I've taken more than 20 minutes, so really sorry for that. Any questions you guys have, we're happy to take it.
Thanks, Kristoff.
Hey. This is Vinod. Sorry, my line got dropped in the middle because of my laptop issues. So maybe I missed a point, but I wanted to understand how, as an individual, if I have to invest in your product, is it an investment mechanism for me to invest it and you provide a tokenization and at the back end you invest in the solar energy or?
So what we do is we have an application. It's an Android application, which is currently tested internally. It's being worked as a small group of closed beta. Basically, you pay in fiat currency and we ensure you own the tokens on the back end of it. Primarily because in India, we have a huge issue of compliance and regulation in terms of the usage of word tokens, right, or digital currency for that matter. But what we do is you pay in fiat on our platform and we ensure that you have a wallet which is created on our side that has ownership of these tokens.
So as an investor, how do I build a credibility on your platform? Is it guaranteed or is it secured or you register with a government body or some kind of a risk aversion for an investor?
Right. So starting with what we're doing, we're actually looking at a more market maker position sort of a model, right? What we're really looking out for is to say that you can invest in today and get out tomorrow and you'll get the money back. Because we are on the other side of the system buying the asset that you're selling. One of the issues that people have with products like this is, hey, listen, if I buy a solar asset today and I want to get out tomorrow, I need to wait for another guy on the other side who has to buy it. So for the first few investors, we're looking at taking up the market maker position to ensure there's that trust and credibility that's built. We're trying our best actually to partner with companies here in India itself to build a consortium for the network that we have right now. We're running on Hyperledger Fabric and we are actually trying to partner with some of these EV companies, well-known startups in India and see how exactly their credibility can also move down to us. If we start making them a part of our network. In terms of regulatory bodies and government-based bodies, we don't really have an issue facing right now. When we scale up, yes, we'll have to get in our licenses and that whole thing sorted out.
Okay, thank you. This was helpful.
Hi, just a quick question. You mentioned working with solar developers. So are you effectively trying to connect a community solar project with investors?
So what we're doing right now in terms of reach out is the incubation that we are a part of. We also have another company called Dexler Energy. Right? What they do is they've already worked with community-based projects and private-backed projects. To have them on board. So what we're looking at right now for the first few set of assets are probably private and corporate backed assets, primarily because the returns on it is good. And it's a good slip in for us to get into the market with those numbers. But what we're actually looking forward to in the future is to get in touch with, associations and probably, smaller apartment complexes to see how we can actually fund the greenification of that entire area, right? But that's something that we're looking out for community-based projects.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the group? Awesome. Thank you so much for this presentation. It was really informative. And, you know, I think it's exciting to hear about the different ways that you guys are looking at empowering the clean energy future. And I think that's something that's going to be so prevalent and really, really important for us. You know, really appreciate this. And, you know, we'll definitely look forward to hearing more about your project progress. And, you know, definitely reach out to us if you guys are interested in kind of participating in some of the various work streams and projects we're working on. We'd love to kind of have your input. And as well as for the blog post, we definitely have a lot of interest in the climate and environmental sector. So those are definitely, you know, we'd be interested in working. So great. Thank you guys so much. Have a great Tuesday. And thank you, you know, thanks to the team over you guys. You know, you guys are.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having us on board. You know, right when we texted in and immediate opportunity for us to share this, it's a huge deal. Thanks a lot.
Always. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for presenting.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys. Yeah.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye.